Hello, oh, welcome to Codependent and Shit. Hello, you guys. How are we doing? What's up? What's the haves? What's the cool jams? What's everyone listening to? If you know what movie that's from, if you know, you know. I'm just hoping I can actually record this full episode and actually post it, but I don't know if I will. I don't know how I'm even going to record this episode right now, but I feel like I should. I feel like I'm coming from ground zero here. So, I just want to start off by saying that I will never record an episode about a partner, someone I'm dating, until it's like really, really far in. Because it seems to be like almost a jinx for me. I recorded this last episode I posted about, mostly about my new relationship with someone I thought was the person. I thought, on a surface level, I thought, but in reality, I knew he wasn't. Now, don't get me wrong, he's not a bad person. That's what made this hard. We broke up, okay? It's over. So, the most challenging thing I think of dating usually like narcissists and like, well, jerks, like people you could be like angry with the breakup and be like, well, he was an asshole anyways. It's really hard because this is my first breakup with someone that was like genuinely like the nicest person I've ever dated, been with, kind. He did so much for me and my son, and I don't feel bitter, like, I don't hate him, I can't, even though, like, he did take actions when we broke up that were, you know, less than kind, but at the same time, he's human, and he's got his own issues and confusion and within him. He is codependent. I got into a relationship with someone who was very codependent. And I saw it, and I knew it. So I'm out here thinking, you know, I've found a healthy partner, but in reality, I just found someone who was totally the other end of the spectrum. I went from dating narcissists to now dating a codependent, deeply codependent, who was going through a separation, was not actually divorced yet, and this was my bad. I overlooked that. On our second date, he told me how soon he had just moved out of the house he lived in with his wife and his daughter. And I knew, my gut, God, was like, no, too soon. I felt that. It was a red flag. But I did what I do, and I said, well, I'm going to keep going. And, you know, that quote, like the reasons, the red flags you ignore in the beginning will be the reason you leave at the end. So that's so true. So what I've started to gather about this man and our relationship was that he was not the narcissist. His wife was highly narcissistic and abusive mentally, emotionally, and he was kind of like this battered man, battered wife syndrome. And I realized they were in that dynamic, and I didn't factor in until I started to see it that this was a trauma bond. Obviously, I know how those work. And how could I think that, you know, that's not still there? That trauma bond is not still active for him. I know how they are. We know how they are. It's so hard to get out. But I pushed forward. I tried. But I did start to realize that this man was so codependent on me. And although he was nice and he was sweet and he loving, he was smothering. It was so smothering. he didn't really have any friends or anything because he'd been married for 7 years. So I just became his new focus. All the dependency transferred onto me, and he would incessantly tell me how much he was in love with me, obsessed with me, thinks about me all day when he's with me, is sad when we're not together. Basically told me he can't be alone, he's sad. So without realizing it, I started isolating because for my friends and stuff, because I felt like I had to be with him, and he was so nice and sweet and sad, this sad boy, that I was like, I have to be with him in my free time. But simultaneously, I was starting to feel like this was way too much pressure on me. Him saying, "You're like my reason, I have nothing apart from you, I can't live without you," started to scare me a little bit, and it was just too much pressure. And I was not feeling like it was right. Because he was such a great guy, he was so sweet and loving, and I'm so used to jerks, I tried so hard to push past it. I tried so hard to attribute those feelings to my attachment wounds. I said, "Oh, I'm just not used to healthy. I'm just not used to consistency." No, it just wasn't healthy. It was the other end of the spectrum, and that is still unhealthy. A super codependent person who has no identity and no outside life for themselves is not a healthy person. It doesn't matter how nice they are. It doesn't matter how sweet they are. And I just tried to push through, but at the same time, I was numbing out. I was numbing out all the time. I had to be stoned to be with him because I thought I'm treating in that uncomfortability. I just needed to help, adjust. Like this feeling of being smothered and just not feeling it was right is just, it's just my attachment. I was like, I just need to, smoke weed and eat edibles and be numb, and it would help me. And eventually I thought, oh, those feelings will go away. But I shouldn't have needed to be not sober to be around my partner. I always needed like something, a drink, something. When we'd be with my son, I made the very big mistake of bringing my son into this. I made the mistake of not having my boundaries firm enough. I still struggle with boundaries. I've come so far, but I told this man in the beginning I didn't want to move fast. I needed to take it slow. I wasn't even looking for anything when we met. And my boundaries just went out the window because I felt so loved. And I just want to be loved, of course, like anyone. And I was like, okay, this is it, man. I gotta just fuck the boundaries, right? What's a boundary? And we moved too fast, and it was a whirlwind romance. There was a lot of physical chemistry. I thought he was very attractive, but I was not in love. I was in lust, and I was in a place where I just wanted to be loved. It was May after my dad had, if you listened to my last podcast, my dad had just had a stroke, was on his way down with his health. It was the same month of my mom's death anniversary, Mother's Day. I was a wreck when I met him. And I, of course, it's partly why this went the way it did, is because I clung to him as an escape. And it worked. It really worked. For a few months, I was distracted. I was like, oh, I'm in love, showing everyone this great man I had, and I was so sure God brought this man, and this was my man, my husband, because he really did check off all the boxes. I have a Pinterest board of like my vision of like my relationship I want, and I've always referred back to this. Every time I'm dating someone, I go look at this, and I'm always thinking, oh yeah, it's him, it's him. But honestly, at this point, the vision board, the prayer board is not valid because that's what I want, these specific things, but I need to just surrender that God wants something else. I don't know what that person's going to look like, but I don't get to choose these specific things. Sometimes God gives you what you need, not what you want, not what you want it to look like. It's not up to you, right? If you're surrendering to God's will. And I don't want what I want because I don't choose the right things, man. I suck at it. I choose the wrong things. I choose the wrong behaviors. Like, that's what I do. So anyways, I didn't feel content. I didn't feel right. And I never dated someone that was separated. And I just want to warn everyone that if you have never been through this, I would tread really lightly if you are dating someone who is not divorced on paper and is only separated. It's not always true that it's sketchy. Like, if they've been separated for several months and the divorce is taking a long time and you know these people don't give two shits about each other anymore, great. But I didn't have that. And also in my gut, I always was a little weary of if he was being honest about him being over it. And I got attached to his daughter too. Like, getting the kids involved, huge mistake. Huge mistake. It's too soon. I think for me, I'm realizing that the 4-month mark is where you really start to like see things, and the things, just like the rose colored glasses kind of are like fading, and you see the flaws. And I was pushing myself so hard to just overlook that, this feeling of discomfort within me, and then the situation he was going through was just a lot. And I like, do I have the emotional space to be helping someone go through a divorce, separation, custody thing? No, I don't. So because I just picked a relationship to numb me, to help me forget my problems, of course, when the honeymoon phase, whatever, I don't want to say honeymoon phase because it shouldn't have ended that quick. Just when things started to settle down, month three and a half, all my problems were still there. I was depressed again. I didn't want to get off my couch. I was like, oh my God, I have this amazing relationship, right? This person who says they're going to be by my side through everything, every hardship. When I always wanted that. And I'm still depressed. I'm still not doing what I want to do. I'm not becoming the person I want to be. It just wasn't happening. And I'm just going to tell you how things ended, because it was gruesome. It was so gruesome, and it destroyed me. It broke me. It broke me harder than anything. It brought me to my knees in a way I don't think I've ever been brought to my knees by the end of a relationship like this, because there's an added layer that occurred. So it's gonna be totally honest, because I'm not here to filter. I'm not here to sugarcoat it, my life and my problems, because if I don't be vulnerable and tell you guys what really goes on, then I'm not helping people that are going through this or have been through this and they're afraid to talk about it like I have been. So I'm just going to tell you guys that last week, he started kind of mentioning after a court date, like a week, 2 weeks prior, with his wife and a custody agreement and child support, he got slapped with a fat amount of child support to pay. Everything went downhill after that. He was starting to talk about wanting to move in together, you know, because he's stressing on how he's going to afford to get his own place. So he was in between places. And I was like, no, I'm not there. I'm not moving in with anybody. I want my space. I was already annoyed with a few days a week of having someone in my home. I have a fucking one-bedroom apartment. What are we doing here? Not enough space. I didn't want that. And he felt pushed away. He always felt pushed away. I wanted space all the time. I didn't even want to be with him, around him. And it was sad. And my sister would tell me, I don't think you're in love with him. Like, you don't even want to be with him. You always want space. And I did. I would dread kind of when it was like, he's coming over for the 24 hours. It was the weekend. And I shouldn't feel that way about my person. And It's not my fault. The love bombing, I was love bombed. Love, nice guys can love bomb. And I really don't think I'll ever overlook love bombing, because there's just a level of where it's like, okay, they're courting you, it's sweet, it's cute, and then there's a point where it's like you're being, it might not be that they're manipulating you, but they are acting in a way that is still over the top and unhealthy, to where they're like overcompensating and where they're really desperate. And I just like ate it up because he wasn't like narcissist vibes, and I just, oh, of course I want to be loved like that. We all do. So what I'm saying is, I'm getting to what happened. It was Monday. I don't know, man. He started to have insomnia. He mentioned he was thinking how much easier it was at his house when he lived there. It's obviously financial. He was stressing. And then it just like through the week, he still wasn't sleeping. I had my own shit. It was very emotional. And by Wednesday that week, I realized that I had not got my period yet, and I had a lot of symptoms. And just because I already had so much going on in my life, I thought, I'm going to go grab a pregnancy test, because I don't know, I just wanted the peace of mind to make sure, yeah, no, there's no, that's not happening. And I fully expected, man, that that test was going to be like negative, and I'm just going to like, oh, cool, okay. But I was wrong, because I found out I was pregnant. Probably the worst possible time I could have ever found out, when our relationship is already having issues, because he wanted more than I wanted to give. He wanted more for the wrong reasons, but it's besides the point. I found out, and he handled it so poorly. It was sickening. Because at this time, he was already contemplating going back to his wife. He had been thinking about it for like a week, I guess. And missing his home. Missing his family. And I understand that feeling. I've been there. And maybe, not maybe, everyone's been there. If you've split up your family, I don't care how shitty the other person is, the other parent, it's a process. And it hurts. And you have to grieve that concept of the family. You're not going to have that family with the biological father or mother of your child. And there's a grief process and a processing process. And I know how that hurts. With my son's dad was a POS, and I was fucked up when we split, and I realized I'm not going to have a family. So him handling it like that, he freaked out. He wasn't being supportive and loving like he had been the whole relationship. He just couldn't even acknowledge it. He just was like so adamant that like, you have to have an abortion. You have to have an abortion. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, I felt the same way. Because A, I'm not in a place for that. I'm still struggling to raise my son. I don't have the financial ability to support another kid. My mental health is not where it should be for children. And there's just things, personal reasons, I just don't see that for myself. And not to mention, I don't want a child with this man. Look at how he handled it. He didn't handle it like a man. And there were other instances I saw emotional immaturity in him that I thought was a turnoff. It was, he didn't handle things like a man. So, I agreed. I don't want to have this baby. So, he obviously was in agreement, and I scheduled an appointment at a clinic, and he continued to be distant. And then he told me he was missing his family and that he didn't know if he loved me at all. This is while I just found out I'm pregnant and I'm like in the midst of getting an abortion, okay? He's telling me, I don't know if I love you. This man that's been like the most loving person I've ever been with, the sweetest man. That's what he said to me. I couldn't believe it was real. I felt like I was in a a nightmare, a dream. I was in shock. He continued to not have sleep the rest of the week. I don't know, I think we would get like a random night in there. But by the next day, he's confused again, tells me, oh, I do love you. That's a mistake. He tried to take it all back. But at that point, I was done, okay? I was like, there's no coming back from this. At least I can say that I've come far enough in my healing that if someone pulls some shit like that, it's not gonna fly. We're not gonna go back to how we were. I can't forget what you said. And I was like, he needs to go explore his feelings. He needs to go explore if that's what he wants. If he wants to go back home to his wife, go for it. Go back to your abuser. I know how the trauma bond works. And I try to explain this shit to him. I'm like, yo, you're in a trauma bond. You're codependent. She's like a narcissist. And like, that's why you want to go back. She knows what she's doing. I don't know what she's saying to you, but it's working. And yeah, I felt like there was no coming back, even though he was spending the whole day calling me like, I love you. I made a mistake. I don't want to lose you. But I was pushing him away. And so the day of my actual abortion, I did it at home. He was home with me. It was the same. It was back to him not acting loving. And I asked him, what the fuck, you know? And he just said it again. While this is happening, I'm having it. It's happening. And he is telling me once again that he thinks he loves his wife. And he doesn't know if he loves me. He misses his home. Just changed his tune a lot about what he wants. Acting like he wants to go back to that. And that was his happiness. And I'm like, yo, you spent months telling me how miserable you were. But like, this was crazy. So as you can imagine, regardless of how I felt about the relationship, this brought me to my knees. It destroyed me. It broke my heart. I needed him and he was not there. And I literally have never been brought to my knees in such a way. It destroyed me and haven't been able to function. Like, it's been a week and I'm surprised I can even sit here and record this. Because it's been the hardest week, I swear. I think of my life, man. I don't know. It's over. It's done. So fast, like whiplash overnight, is just done. And he's just so cold. He's just so like, yep, we gotta move on with my life. Like, we shouldn't have contact. The whole deal. My son is sad. It's fucking destroyed me that my son is sad and cried, that he got attached. He thought this man wanted to be a stepdad. That's what he told us, you know, told me. He's like, he's my stepson, you know, all that shit. And it was premature. I shouldn't have let us play house and family. But see, I still fucking struggle with boundaries. But what I want to get to with this is this brought up trauma from my past that I've been suppressing for so long about regarding pregnancies, because I'm going to be real honest with you guys. I might get some hate messages. I might have some Christians message me and be like, you're going to hell, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not. I have had pregnancies in my past where I had an abortion. I'm not going to talk about in details, but it happened. They were very traumatic as far as the men I was involved with at that time and how they handled it. Like, I'm talking, got cheated on while I was having one, being abandoned. I was not a healthy person then. I was a sick girl who did not care to take care of herself in any way, shape, or form. I did not take precautions. I was in full self-sabotage mode, and that is the type of shit that would happen to me. And it happens to, I think, a lot of girls, and like, no one wants to talk about it, so I'm gonna fucking talk about it. It's more common than you realize. More women have had abortion than you ever will realize. Unless they talk about it. So this brought up trauma from my teens that I've been suppressing. I've been in therapy for years and working on myself and years of fucking juju stuff where I'm in ceremonies and I'm doing frog poison and all this stuff to heal all this like abandonment trauma, blah, blah. But I don't ever think about the abortions. I don't think about them. I suppressed it. I'm like, no, that doesn't bother me. I blacked it out. I push it down. I don't even touch on it in therapy. And now it's like this came up, and that is what really mostly I think brought me to my knees with this, is because I had that same abandonment happen with the man that I thought loved me and would be supportive. And I guess that's the silver lining of this, is I realized that this is some trauma that I have to deal with, and also that I created a belief about myself, because I still will say it when it came up in conversation the other day about abortion. I said in my past with that, I said to my cousin, yeah, I'm fucking disgusting. That's what I said about myself. And why do I believe that about myself? Why? But I've let that belief still run rampant in my mind, and I've wondered why my life still is self-sabotage, why I don't do what I should be doing. A person that values themselves, a person relationship-wise, everything. I'm not seeking the healthy because I don't think I deserve it, because I think I'm a disgusting person because of what I did. I think I'm a piece of shit. Whether I consciously recognize it, now I do. That thought, that belief is still in there and driving me. So the silver lining of all this is I realize that this is within me. It's affecting me. It's holding me back. And it's time to heal this trauma. It's time to heal it. And I straight up, my mental health is so bad that I had to check into like outpatient mental health treatment. Yo, it's that bad. 5 days a week, intense treatment for my mental health, because that's how bad it got. And I truly didn't want to be here a week ago. I wanted to be dead. I went that Sunday morning after he left, told me he needed space. I drove over to church sobbing, walked into the service late sobbing, still tried to praise God even though I was in the worst pain of my life. Went over to the guy at the front that's doing prayer, had him pray over me, sobbing in his arms. Had to talk to a girl there, like a counselor. Like, it was so bad. And then after church, I went and met up with some old friends and got drunk. I drank my pain away like I used to, and it didn't fix anything. I felt worse. And yeah, those next few days were so debilitating. I was so wanting to be not alive that I sought help. I had to. And that's the other silver lining of this. I needed help before the relationship. My mental health was so bad. I should have looked into one of these places a while ago. I didn't even know they existed. I thought there was just like drug and alcohol rehab and that's it. Like, that's why I went to one of those before, because I was wanting mental health help. And I was like, oh, rehabs have like mental health assistance. Like, not really. Most of them are just focusing on keeping you like away from drugs and alcohol. But there's not going to be a lot of mental health services in there, even if they claim it on their website. You got to look into those, because it's not always true. They will act like you're going to see a psychiatrist and shit, but that's just what they put on their website. They need you to come, you know, check in. They need that insurance money. So the silver lining of this is that I am finally getting like the real help I need, because my grief consumes me still. My regret and grief around my mom and my friends that have died since my mom and everything. I wasn't managing and I wasn't doing good before the relationship. Like, I needed help before. So this relationship brought me to my knees, and now I'm getting help. So, and also in this treatment already is where I've recognized this trauma from my past with the abortions. And it came through kind of, I did a breath work session, and it's kind of where it started to come through. But that is plaguing me. So I'm grateful that these things have been brought to light, and that I can ask God to forgive me and know He already forgave me, and know that there was a reason this all happened. And don't get me wrong, I've I've had to talk to him on the phone. I've cried and cried, said, how could you not love me overnight, blah, blah, blah. And this is all in spite, despite that, like, I knew I wasn't in love with him either. I wasn't happy. I was forcing this because I thought he's good for my son. He's so sweet to us. He's attractive. But it wasn't there because if it was there, I wouldn't need to not be sober with him. I wouldn't need to be escaping. I felt suffocated. I felt like I had no life. I felt like I had no identity anymore. I started to stop getting ready like I used to. Like, I just felt like, is this my life now? Like, just playing house? And I didn't have the time and space to achieve my goals that I have for myself, my career goals, anything. I felt so consumed by this relationship because he was so codependent. But this is what I want to warn you guys. If you date someone separated, you date someone codependent that's still in a fucking trauma bond, like, you buckle up because you know how that works. And they might be telling you they're moved on, they're over it, but I wouldn't believe them unless you fully, like, it's been time, there's been, you know, processing. It's just, I should have seen it. And he admitted to me that he has still been in love with her the whole time. So I was lied to. And he wasn't honest. And there's the problem right there, too, is we both weren't honest. I'm hiding that I'm smoking weed. He takes a shower and I'm out in the patio needing to take some hits. Like, why? Like, oh, this is like the whole relationship. We weren't honest with each other. We came clean to each other at the end, and it is what it is, but man, it's been a really hard breakup because of so many factors. And yeah, add that pregnancy that he acted like he didn't even acknowledge it, like, didn't give a fuck about it, you know? And to me, I did. I felt I'm grieving it. I'm still grieving it. And it's, fuck, it destroyed me, you guys. But I will say that this is the first time in my life where I've experienced this level of pain and trauma that I am running to God instead of being mad at him and being like, why? Which there is a little bit of anger. I'm like, how could you let this happen to me? Why did I deserve this? You know, I'm punching my steering wheel. I'm screaming to him. Why would you let this happen to me after everything I've been through? Don't I deserve to be happy? I've come so far from where I was a year ago. I'm such a better person and mother. And why? But at the same time, I'm trusting him that there is a reason this happened and that there's something better for me on the other side. There's a better person one day. There's a better life for me where I'm not consumed by a relationship. I'm not consumed by any relationship. I don't have the space and the time for that. It's going to be a challenge for me not to go to my old habits and things. Like, you know how hard it is. I already want to get on an app and just start looking for my next escape, a new guy to give me validation. I wanted to post thirst traps on my Instagram. I did post one and then I deleted it. I went and hung out with my friend last night with our kids, which is not a healthy dynamic. We just sit there and smoke weed and drink and sit in misery. And I was with her last night and doing the same shit, but I felt the conviction in me. I felt, first of all, seeing how she's not doing good and it's not good. Second of all, I'm not doing that shit anymore. Like, that's not in alignment with who I'm, God wants me to be. And I'm trying to live by his will. I don't want to live by my will anymore. My will sucks. Like, I don't know what's right for me. But he does. And I freaking felt that conviction yesterday. I feel the conviction when I smoke weed. I feel the conviction when I am drinking, if I'm trying to drink a lot. So that's another good part of all this and going to get help is that it's coming out of my life. Because weed, dude, if you can smoke weed and, like, keep it chill, it's not excessive, do it. I don't think it's that serious. But if it's affecting your life where you're not getting things done and you're also hiding it like a drug addict, because I straight up was, dude. Like, I knew it. Like, I'm, like, sneaking out on my breaks at work, taking a break every, like, freaking 45 minutes to go smoke a bowl and I'm hiding it like a crackhead, dude. Like, I'm hiding it, and it's excessive, and I felt like I couldn't stop, and now I'm stopping because I don't know, God in treatment, and I just know this is like, all this shit's gotta go, and it's just fucking time. So if you're going through something terrible, traumatic, and it doesn't make sense to you, I just hope that you can listen to this maybe and do what I'm doing, which seems like the impossible, and instead of being mad at God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, believing that this happened to you for a reason and seeing the lesson in this and knowing there's better for you and that you can still trust God. Trust God. Trust Him, even if it makes no sense. This is the test of your faith. And I don't know. Maybe I'm sitting here talking a bunch of bullshit and I'm not going to make any changes, but I think I will. And I'm never coming on here about a relationship again. Maybe like a year in to the relationship. I'll talk about it on my podcast, but I swear it's a jinx. I feel so stupid that I have recorded a podcast. My last episode, I cried happy tears. That's a thing, man. Like, I would cry happy tears to God about Him. I'd be like, thank you. You brought Him. He's here. The man that I dreamt of. He does so much for us. And now it crumbled to nothing. He doesn't give a shit about me. Seemingly overnight. He wasn't a bad person, but like, man, he's still in that trauma bond with his abuser. He couldn't love me. He could lust me. I could be a nice distraction for him to cling to, but he didn't love me. I didn't love him. We were two broken people that were just looking for an escape. We were attracted to each other. We had chemistry. Chemistry, at the end of the day, doesn't matter, you guys. You can have chemistry with anybody, but what matters is compatibility and where that person's at. My ex needs therapy so bad. He has no self-awareness around that stuff. And I can only pray that, you know, he starts to realize things about his patterns and behaviors that are not normal, are not healthy, not normal. I don't like using that word, that are not healthy, and that only he can change that. And he has to do work. And you and I, we already do the work. We're there. If you listen to my podcast, you're already there. I hope that he does that. But you know, you can't make someone do it. You can't make someone realize they're codependent. You can't make someone realize that they have issues with the way they handle life and the way they handle life based off their relationship with their self. This man has no relationship with himself, no ability to be alone. He doesn't know how to be a person without a relationship controlling him, driving him. And yeah, I guess that's, you know, where my story right now ends. I don't know what's coming. I have no idea what the future is gonna hold, but I'm broken in this moment, and I wanted to record this, like I said, now in this state, because sometimes you're not gonna be okay. I'm not okay. Anyways, sorry I made this episode like a story time, but sometimes I like to listen to a podcast where someone shares their story that I can relate to. So maybe you can relate to this and you've been through this. And this was so vulnerable for me to share about my past and the things, you know, mentioning abortion. I hate saying the word out loud. I have so much shame around it. You don't have to have shame. It's okay. You're forgiven. You're not a bad person. You're not. You're always forgiven. Anyways, you guys, because that's kind of where I want to wrap it up. I'm going to go to church soon. I'm going to keep seeking God and trusting Him. And remembering that it wasn't right for me. Regardless, yeah, all my abandonment wounds are triggered. So I'm calling Him and I'm crying the other night, and I'm curled up in a ball sobbing, but that's just my abandonment triggered. That's my, you know, my self-worth issues. triggered. It's not based on that I'm in love with this person, because I wasn't. And sometimes when we have those wounds, not even sometimes, but we get those wounds triggered, we think we're in love, but we're not. It's very confusing. I know it too much. Okay. I love you guys so much. I actually was surprised at the listenership of my last episode, even though I'm not regularly recording. I was like, oh my God, people still listen. So let's hope, I will pray that I'm going to really pick this back up, take it more serious. I think I want to change more of what I talk about. If you have suggestions, dude, shoot me an email. If you have a topic you want me to talk about, because I've been through it all, man, send me an email, codependentandshit@gmail.com, or on Instagram, codependentandshit, got an IG, don't really post a lot in there, but hey, it's there. You can message me. Or even if you just want to talk, even if you just want to share if you've been through something I mentioned and you want to talk about it, message me. Because I love talking you guys in. The only thing I care about at this point is being of service to helping others that have gone through what I've been through, and my son and my life. I'm trying to build a life around that, because there has to be a reason that my life has been this way. Because if you've been through the fucking gutter, if you've been through some shit, it could be because one day you're gonna share your story and it's gonna help someone else have hope, potentially save their life, to share what you've been through that they can relate. So, all right, you guys, I love you. Thanks for listening. If you listened to this whole episode, don't judge me. Only God can judge me. All right, love you guys. How do you know my